You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
You know, it is a bit of a experience, really, when you look to God. God is here this morning. Now, I've been praying all the week, not because I'm a great spiritual giant, but my knees were knocking, and I said, God, I want you to come and take control of that meeting. I want you to take control of what I say, because that's the important factor this morning, that we can actually get something from God. Now, we've started. One of my fears right now is this, that I'm afraid of getting in his way, in the way of the Holy Spirit, because he's been moving. That prayer just sort of had me shaking there. You know, if we can rock Putin, we can certainly rock Satan, and we can do something about that. And I didn't want to spoil that. Just as a little aside, and I've been given a limited time, which is useless to me. But I did promise Tim I'll stop when the time is right. Well, that could be at 1 o'clock, but I will stop when the time is right for him, as well as him. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Just, it was amazing. About 7 to 10 days ago, when Tim said, you fancy having a preach? And I said, yes, I do. Thank you very much. And I started thinking about it. I started writing some things down before I looked at what I wanted to share in terms of Go, which is the theme on which we're on. And over the weeks and the months, I have had an affinity with Sarah in spirit. I don't know Sarah very well, and you don't know me very well, but there's been something when she's been leading here that has done something in my own spirit. And I thought, I'll send a text to Tim and say, Tim, do you think that Sarah could read this scripture? And then I thought, no, you are taking a bit of a liberty now. Just do what you're told to do. So I left it. I wanted Sarah to read this scripture. And she came in this morning and came up to me and she said, I'm leading. And I thought, wow. And I said, I've actually got it on a bit of paper here. Let me read it, if I can find it. Yeah. Ask Tim if Sarah could read this scripture. And she's read it for me. And I'm so pleased. God is in control. God is in control. And not just that, but right throughout this meeting. Just for those out there, and maybe some of you here, because just to say, my name's Steve, that's all you need to know. I've been a Christian for 53 years. I'm married to Jill, and we've been worshiping here for the last 2.5 years or thereabouts. And that's all that's important. Other than that, the Holy Spirit is. He's the important one here this morning. And I just wanted to read this. This is not because I'm caught on a back foot. I'm certainly not that. I want to get into this word if I can in a moment. But I just felt it was good just to read this as a thought of where we are. You know, this meeting this morning is the best meeting you've been in so far. Okay? No, not because of me. It's the best meeting you've been in so far because the Spirit has come. Next week will be the best meeting you will have been in. Nothing to do with me. You know, the Holy Spirit is coming to do something, and I want you to hold on to that this morning as we go through this sermon. I want you to hold on to that. I want you to hold on to the truth of that. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, will you come and baptize me again? Will you come again and fill me again? Will you come again and give me power again in my life? Some of you, there was a word this morning. There was a word this morning from Tim that said there was somebody in a forest and they are coming out. Let's come out of the darkness into the light of the Holy Spirit this morning and let him do something with us that will change the direction. We might need that to where we are going. But I wanted to read this. Take a look at this preacher at Corinth this morning. Now, Greeks loved tall, handsome orators with a lovely accent and suave, gracious manners. Well, I've let that one down this morning for a start, but that's where it is. Alas, so do some churches today. But when you look into the Corinthian pulpit, what do you find? According to tradition, we have a little bald-headed Jew with bow legs. Well, I do fit into that category, and yeah. Who has a peculiarity in his eyes so that people don't find his presence impressive? Well, I hope you might at the end, but we'll see. He admits this in one of his letters. He says, I know I don't have much of a presence when I am with you face to face. He knew that. He was a man they would not have looked at twice. He said, I came in fear and trembling. This is the great apostle Paul. I came in fear and trembling. When I came to you, I just came to you with a simple message. I wasn't trying to persuade you with oratory. I wasn't trying to be brilliant. I just came to tell you the simple message. But when I spoke, something happened. That's the great thing. When I spoke, something happened. This is what made the difference between this little Jew and all these great Greek orators. When they spoke, everybody said, how interesting. And they left at the end the same way they came in. But when Paul spoke, the Spirit's power was demonstrated and people were changed. That's the difference. You know, I think he was lying a little bit because he could have come with great oratory. He could have come with great intellect. He had sat at the feet of the great Professor Gamaliel. He had been taught at the University of Jerusalem. If anybody had that, he did. But he came with the simplicity of the gospel and the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he was moved by that. And that's what kept him going right throughout his ministry. I want that for us this morning. I really want that for us this morning. As we rise up and feel some of the strength of what we've been singing about, and I felt the Holy Spirit come down. I felt the Holy Spirit came and meet with us in those few minutes that we were worshiping. Let's continue to worship. Continue now to reach out to the Holy Spirit as we look at this word together. And so Sarah read those lovely few words, and I didn't ask to preach this week. I left it in Tim's hands, but I felt it was the right thing to do, following Dan from last week, because he was in the same ballpark. And I felt this will dovetail. This will take us to the next level, if you like, not up, but further on down the road of where God wants to take us. And he says here in this scripture, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. And that's something that we need to hold on to now as we wait for the Holy Spirit to move upon us. You will be my witnesses. There is the first word to go. It's not born yet. It's not, it hasn't come to fruition yet, but it's there. Then I've got a subtitle and it says this, get on your bike. Get on your bike, but don't forget the petrol. Now, if you think that's a clever word from me, that's not my word. That's the Holy Spirit for us to get on our bike and go with what the Spirit gives us to go with. I'm starting with a quote here. I don't know how many of you have ever seen Our Yorkshire Farm. Anybody? It's a great thing. I love it. Pardon? Yeah, I love a farm, but in case you didn't know about her, the name of the person I want to mention here is Amanda Owen. She's married to a guy called Clive. They live way out in the hills of North Yorkshire. They have 9 children, and they beat them into submission so that they work on the farm with them, and everybody is happy, and the whole thing is happily done ever after, or at least we are expected to think so. And I was listening to it on this one occasion, and Amanda, who is a shepherdess, came out with these words. I think I looked at Jill. She won't remember that, but I think I looked at Jill and I went, wow, because she said this, the worse the day, the worse the weather, the more the sheep need the shepherd. Yeah, that's what she said. She's not a Christian. She was living in that moment with sheep. I'm going to read it again. The worse the day, the worse the weather, the more the sheep need a shepherd. In a sense, those very words are synonymous with these first words of Act 1. Wait, wait, it said, for the gift my Father has promised. Now, what do I mean by that? As much as the shepherd is imperative to the sheep in all aspects of its life, in this context, the Holy Spirit is imperative to the next move God will have in taking the church forward. He was going to take the church forward. In fact, it hadn't even started yet, but there was a preparation by the Holy Spirit that was being made. Now, I know Christ himself is the shepherd. But here, Christ will ascend in this context. The Holy Spirit is imperative in that way. The Holy Spirit needs to move. As Christ will ascend, he will be seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Spirit of Christ comes with all the equipment that is required to get the job done. That's why we need to be waiting. Now, I know we can't wait forever, and I might repeat myself on that, but he gives us the equipment to get the job done. Now, the church, you can disagree with me if you like, but let's talk afterwards. The church goes nowhere without the shepherd. The church goes nowhere without the move of the Spirit of God on it. We need desperately to remember that as we are preparing to go. That's imperative to us in this situation. We put all our efforts into it, and maybe we should. We create programs for men, programs for women, programs for children. We create programs of evangelism to bring people in. We have great ideas that will transform the church because we have heard the word go. But the shepherd, the Christ, the anointed one himself has said, no, not yet. Wait. Just wait a minute. Well, that's what he told the disciples here in these scriptures that we've read. So where does it all begin? I don't know whether you heard of the Reverend John Stott. He's one of my mentors. I've got four. They keep me on the straight and narrow. They're all in heaven at the moment, but I haven't got time to tell you who they are. John is one of them. And he enlightens us a little bit about this part of scripture. Luke begins his story with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the honeymoon period of the Spirit-filled community, which was abruptly terminated by the opposition of Jewish authorities. It didn't last long because the Holy Spirit was on the move. Remember that one. But they did try and stop what God was doing in that moment of time. You'll find it in Acts 3 and 4. Just a reminder. This is just a reminder. When you go and wherever you go, there will be opposition. Now, we need to remember that. If we are going from here, or if the church in Hereford or in the nation is going, there will be opposition. There will be frustration against what the Holy Spirit and God is wanting to do in those times. He goes on to describe the transitional stage in which the foundations, mark that word, in which the foundations were laid by Stephen's martyrdom, and Philip's evangelism, the conversions of Saul and Cornelius, and the founding of the first Greek church at Antioch. Now, from this international city at Antioch, and at this great church, the worldwide Christian mission is launched. The real going starts here. The real going for us will start here. The real going for us is when we get into an upper room together and we sense and feel again the prompting and the move of the Holy Spirit on our lives together as a people. We're all different. We're all different people. We all have different ideas, but he centers our thinking on what he wants. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Hereford. Wait in CLC until I fall upon you with the word that I want to give to you for this day and this generation. Even in that short statement, it gives a starter for 10, and the word is go. In the whole context of the book of Acts, let's get ourselves ready to go. As he goes on, look at all these positives. Now, going forward, all the time, even in the midst of persecution, we're going forward. But we're going forward after the day of Pentecost with the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit. I certainly don't want to get anybody worked up. I want the Holy Spirit to fall on us and give us something in our spirits that really works us up by him. I don't want to get you excited. I want him to get us excited and to move us forward. I have to say, I really feel that's right. Going on, Paul and Barnabas evangelized Cyprus and Galatia. The Council of Jerusalem acknowledged the legitimacy of Gentile conversion. Is that a go? Yes, it is a go. We would not be here this morning if that hadn't have happened, because you're all Gentiles and you would not have that opportunity. So it's a go for us. Europe was reached with the gospel during the second missionary journey, including Athens and Corinth and Ephesus on the third. Now, why am I going on about all that? Because the Holy Spirit was doing what he said he would do on that day. When Jesus spoke to those apostles, those disciples, and he said, you will be witnesses. You will be witnesses to me in Judea, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It was happening. It had taken place. And so we need to come when we look to the Holy Ghost this morning to do something in us as individuals, us as a fellowship, us as a church. We need to recognize the fact that he can do the job. He can do the job. Don't get in the way, whoever you are. I said this morning when I got up here and after I felt the sense of God, the Holy Spirit, I thought, you're going to get in the way, Steve. Don't get in the way. I don't want to get in his way. Without Acts, we would not have been able to reconstruct the course of Paul's missionary journeys and his career, how the gospel spread strategically to cities across the known world to them and into Rome. With all this happening, the engagement was still to go. The engagement was still to go. Because you and I are disciples ourselves, let me encourage you in your preparation for the going when it comes. And I looked at Esther chapter 4. Uncle Mordecai here said to his niece, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. The safety of the church won't stop us. It won't save us from getting out there and getting our hands dirty and to engage in the battle that God has for us. Because that's what it is when you're going. That's what it's all about when you're going. Because once you start getting out there and people start getting saved, a bit old-fashioned that, isn't it? But that's the sum total of this gospel, that people are getting saved. Do you think the enemy will sit back having a coffee and reading a newspaper? No, no. He'll be going for us. And that's not hyperbole again. That is a fact. That's his job, to undermine what God is going to do. And then he carries on for you to remain silent at this time, to find relief and deliverance for the Jews, that will arise from another place. If you don't go, somebody else will. If I don't go, somebody else will. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. Have we come for such a time as this? This is our moment. This is our time. You won't have another time in this way. So we have to look and say, God, in this moment, at this time, in this fellowship, in your church, what do you want us to do? Where are we going? Where are you taking us? God's timing is always perfect. I know you know that. I know you know that. He knows the best time for you, and the most effective witness that you can have is now, here and now. The question is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Those are the things. The word is go. How are we going to go? Why are we going to go? What are we going to take with us? What we do is this. There was a preparation period, and it was directed by the Spirit himself. And looking at Acts 1 again, we know he's writing to Theophilus. Here is a man of some standing in his community, some social dignitary, some say a lawyer or judge. I don't know about that, but he is obviously of some importance to Luke as he addresses him at the beginning of both his gospel, the Gospel of Luke, and here in Acts. There are, I think, reasons for it, but that's not for now. The important thing for us today is this. What Jesus is pronouncing before his ascension, after the resurrection, the disciples know that he is alive and there is an amen. They thought they'd lost him forever, that they were going to be wallowing in the dark, but he is alive. He's come amongst them. They are crying, amen, 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 in the Revelation, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They were crying, amen. They start their journey from here. They spend the next 40 days with him, and he spends that time telling them about the kingdom of God. What else? What else? As soon as I start when we're at home, sometimes Jill comes out from her room where she's working, and something clicks off in my mind. She wants a cup of coffee, and I start preaching straight away. And she said, well, I do have to go back now, because I never know when to stop. I'm going to stop in a minute, Tim. I never know when to stop. But that's it. We talk about the kingdom of God. I'll be honest, I am a bit odd, but you'll get used to that. It's an absolute fact that when we talk about, do you not get stimulated in your spirit when you're talking about the kingdom? You know, it's a great thing. You know, you can come and say this, have a cup of coffee. We have our house group on a Thursday, and my goodness, I always think I won't say anything now. I won't say anything now. I do try, but it never works. But, you know, that's how it is. Well, it was the beginning of preparation. I'm not far off. I'm not far off. I just wanted to look at a couple of other things here. He said, stay in Jerusalem. Why? That is going to be the place of preparation. That place will be the foundation stone. That place will be the place of learning and the place of teaching. This is going to be a significant place. Why? Things will happen here in the next few days. That's what Jesus is saying from his heart. Things will happen here in the next few days that will change the course of history. Now, is that being overexcited? That's what happened. It changed the course of history. It changed what was going to happen in the church and as the kingdom of God moved forward. The Holy Spirit might just tell you this morning, stay here and wait a bit longer. Why Jerusalem? It's a place of familiarity. It's a place of security. It's a place where the apostles are together, where they can stand together. Isn't that good here? Isn't that good? My difficulty is I never wanted to come to a big church. Jill was born again in a big church. I was just looking for a little church. But God's got me here. I mean, I came with nothing, and now I'm running the show practically on a... Well, I am the assistant director with Leslie here. So, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. No, I'm teasing you there, as you well know. It's changing the course of history, but God might say something to you. He might say something to you. If you're listening to the Spirit now, without music, without any other aids, the Holy Spirit speaking to you now as the Word of God, maybe not preached brilliantly, as Paul said that he wasn't, but the Holy Spirit might be saying something to you this morning. Now, for you and me, we need to abide by the same teaching. We need to be listening to the same voice. We need to be led by the same Spirit, and we need to be in the same place spiritually. Now, there are times when we go, and we go too early. And there are times when we go, and we are too late. And then we wonder why things have not gone the way we planned. Sometimes it's the we planned that causes us the problem. And that makes all the difference. The upper room was a place of prayer. It was a place of listening. Prayer is always two-way. Sometimes we do a lot of talking to him and fail to listen, but he wanted us to listen here and to respond to what he had to say. He had a plan. The Holy Spirit had a plan, and he was taking us forward in that plan. Where you are in the secret place is where you need to batten down the hatches. Remain secure in the voice and the power of the Spirit and the voice of those who are called to lead us. They should be waiting for the green light. We did a bit of that red, amber, green a few weeks ago, didn't we? They are there poised, waiting for the green light as they meet together, share together. And I don't know what they do, but that's what leaders do. They meet together on our behalf and they pray and they seek the face of God and they ask the Holy Spirit to help them. And the thing is that we have to listen to that voice. They are waiting for the green light, and they should carry us with them by the power of the Spirit. This is all important stuff. If we are to see success in the Spirit, if we are going to go at all, just a word about our four leaders. An international, I read this in a book not so long ago, an international denominational leader said this about leadership. One of the big factors of leadership is to exude inspiration so that people want to follow. I'll say it once more. One of the biggest factors of leadership is to exude inspiration so that people want to follow. It's a terrible thing when a leader looks back and there's no one coming. Do you think you get discouraged? Well, I want to tell you, your leaders get discouraged. It's a hard job. They are there on our behalf. They are called and anointed to take us somewhere in the spiritual realm. And it's not an easy task. They get discouraged as much as we do. So we hold them. And it's important for us to do that. Hold them before God. You won't always agree with them. You won't always like what they say. But neither do we have that in families. So that's not a great deal of difference. We need to be behind them as they go in front of us and take us forward. Therefore, in the light of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, leaders, and I say this, I'm preaching to us, I'm saying it to the whole church of God, really. I'm not pointing fingers at leaders, I'm supporting leaders. Leaders, stop bringing your own wisdom to the table. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to go forward. Now, that doesn't mean we ignore them. That doesn't mean we put them down. That means that we get behind them all the more. Stop bringing your own wisdom. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit if we are going anywhere and if we are going forward. For the leadership then, the apostles, and for leaders and people now, when you are in that upper room, you can cut the atmosphere with a spiritual knife. When you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere changes. I used to say, when I was a lot younger and I'd be preaching, you know, and when I was in church, the devil could never get at me. Seriously. That might be naive. He could never get at me. He'd get at me when I walked out. He might get at me as soon as I finished. But when you are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's the way I feel. That's where I go. He can bring what he likes with the thoughts in my mind and in my heart and in my soul and in my spirit. But he cannot detract me from what the Holy Spirit is doing in that moment. The call is to go, but with what? No point in going anywhere if you don't know why and with what. My boss used to say to me, Steve, will you go down to Neville Hall Hospital for me? Or she might say, will you, do you mind going down and looking at this case down in the Royal Gwent Hospital, which is in Newport, if you know where that is, it's not too far away. I'd say, yes. Why? What do you want me to do? Because if she said, well, I just want you to go there, I'd say, you're having a joke. You're having a joke with me? Just to go for the sake of going? No, we have to go with something. We have to go with a purpose. We have to go with a vision. We have to go with determination. When God does speak, when you receive the gift from the Father, they were going. Those disciples, those apostles, they were going. How were they going? They were going in power. Seriously, nearly there. In power, not their own, but his power. They were going in authority. I'd like to think I was speaking in authority this morning. Not my authority, but his authority. The word of the living God being manifest in the midst of us. They were going with insight. They were going with knowledge. They were going with wisdom, not their own, but with the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. After 53 years as a Christian, I'm still working on it. I haven't got there yet. It's a tough old job. But that doesn't mean that I stop and I look backwards. I keep going forward. That's what Paul told us to do. Forgetting the things that are in the past. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Now, forget all that if you've repented. And I haven't got time to talk about that. I'd love to. But forget about that. It's not doing any good to remember those things that you've repented of and God has rid from your spirit and your soul and your heart and your life. Let's go forward in his authority, in his power, with his mind, fearless, not of themselves, but from him. This is what was manifest by the falling of the Spirit of God on them that day. They entered the upper room as children, metaphorically, needing to be taught. They left as men and women, having been in the presence of God. Isn't that a great thing? They didn't know what they were going to go in the upper room for. They were going to pray as normal. And then the Spirit fell and things changed for them in the twinkling of an eye. I am impatient by nature at the best of times. But can you see the wisdom of Christ before the ascension? He knew the task would be arduous. He knew that they would need more than they had. But the gift was available. All you have to do is wait. All you have to do is ask. Now, what did Joel say in the Old Testament about that? I will pour out my spirit on all people. That's everybody in this room this morning. He can do that. He can do that. You might want to cry from your heart now. Fill me again, Lord. Come upon me again, Lord. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In those days. Well, I want to say this. Can those days become these days? Can those days become these days? I believe they can. I'm going to come to a conclusion. Seriously, I'm not quite finished, but we'll do that. So what are we going to do? What is the next step for the Church of Christ and maybe this congregation? Do we listen to a million sermons? I don't want to be hypocritical there. I love listening to sermons. They're mostly better than the ones I do, so it's much better to listen to those. I do, really. Before we get a focus, do we analyze so we can conceptualize? Do we invite in some experts to tell us how it is really done? Do we wait until we know that we know that we know we have the gift of evangelism? Because I'd have to declare now, I haven't got that gift, but I'm prepared to go under the anointing of the Spirit. Or do we do what the apostles did and listen to Jesus? That's the wisest thing I can say this morning. And I'm not very wise. Somewhere we need to find an upper room, physically as well as spiritually, and we need to wait. And you might say to me, Steve, we have done that for years. And I know in lots of churches up and down this nation, that's been the case. Okay, all I can say is this. What happened when you waited? What happened? I want what happened then to happen now. And it can. It really can. I feel I'm putting pressure. I'm not trying to. Leaders, we wouldn't have this theme if leaders hadn't talked about it, hadn't thought about it, hadn't grasped a hold of what that would mean about going. So then again, we rely on them. We have to just come together, leader and ordinary person like me, congregational person. We need to come together and see that God will do that. You know, this is, I've left a lot out, and this really is my last paragraph. The word of God continued to spread. These are all the things that happened after they were obedient to Jesus to wait, and then for the Holy Spirit to come. This is what happened. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased in Jerusalem. That was at home. And many priests became obedient to the faith. That's significant if we were to open that out. The second thing, meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galatia, Galilee, and Samaria, that was abroad, had peace and was built up and increased in numbers. The word of God continued to advance and gain followers. So the church or the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. It's a chronological survey from the beginning to the end of Acts. There was success after success after success, even though it was difficult and they were under extreme persecution. On the strength of that, and I'm sorry I've been so long-winded, on the strength of that, we have to go, don't we? We have to go. Let's see what happens next. Amen.